Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. Excited to have a special guest today. Topic is not super fun, but I think it's important, especially because there's still folks out there who've not been exposed to the truth, because the truth is not being shared widely on conventional, traditional news sources, and even, unfortunately, our public health agencies are still not up to speed on the data that's out there. So in the spirit of informed consent, bringing the truth in love, trying to open some eyes and hearts and minds to the fact that there could be corruption in the medical field and in some of these public institutions. The fact that nobody, at least that I've heard in places of authority, have talked about what we're going to talk about today is a big concern. And so, the point of the interview today is not to be depressing, but to present truth with love and compassion, not with division and hatred. But numbers like this need to be shared, because I still encounter people, even to this day, 2023, that just don't know. Nobody told them. Nobody informed them. So today we're here to do that. Bring some data and some information so you can make an informed decision. But even more than just on the COVID vaccine, just on your health in general and who you need to put your trust, hope, and faith in, and where you get your information from and what advice you're going to follow. And maybe you might want to seek a second opinion. I'd like to remind people the United States healthcare system is, of all the conventional or industrial countries, it's the worst healthcare system in the world as far as outcomes. We're the sickest, and we die the youngest. More babies die, more mamas die during labor and pregnancy. More people die in general. We have the shortest life expectancy, the most chronic illness. I'm not going to go through all that again, but that's another piece of informed consent we need to have. We are part of the worst outcomes in the world. So that's a big red flag. And then as we're about to hear, there's another big red flag. There's all kinds of data, and has been for now 2 years, red flags on this COVID-19 gene therapy injection. So our guest today is not a medical person. He's not a physician or a researcher from a medical perspective, but he's a finance guy. And he wrote a book called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. The author's name, Edward Dowd. The foreword in the book is by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Highly recommend it. Buy 2 or 3 copies. Give one to your neighbor. Give one to your doctor. Give one to your boss if they're not informed. So Edward Dowd currently is a founding partner with Finance Technologies, a global macro alternative investment firm. He's worked on Wall Street most of his career, spanning both credit markets and equity markets. Some of the firms he has worked for include HSBC, Donaldson, Lufkin, and Generate, Independence Investments, and most notably, BlackRock, portfolio manager there at BlackRock, where he managed a $14 billion growth equity portfolio for 10 years. Ed, welcome to the show. Glad to have you today.
I live in Maui. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Edwards. Good to be here. And yes, this is not a fun topic, but the truth is the truth. And the reason I wrote the book is to hopefully eventually end this vaccination program and then get to the task of healing and fixing what's going on. So as depressing as this is, you know, there is hope at the end of the tunnel. And a lot of things are going to change as a result of this tragedy. And a lot of good things, I think. I mean, my book is pretty simple. It's a quick read. We talk about the sudden athletic deaths, of course. They're anecdotal, but there is a study that shows that something's happened since 21. The Lausanne study in 2006 documented 1,101 sudden athletic deaths under the age of 35 around the globe on the field. And that's 29 per year. Since 2021, we'd be lucky to have a month with just 29. So as a Wall Street guy from Wall Street, we notice rates of change in frequency. So did this occur before 2021, before the vaccines were introduced? It sure did, but it was rare, and it was usually a big deal. Now this is a common occurrence. And in my book alone, I cite hundreds and hundreds of examples of this since 2021. And just on my data alone, it's a tenfold increase. That's just an alarming sudden shift in something that shouldn't occur. So that's mostly anecdotal in nature, but in my book I go into what we call metadata. We look at a bunch of different things, but the thing I want to most hone in on is what I think proves the case. There's two data sets that I looked at and continue to look at and monitor. One is the Society of Actuaries. These are folks, an industry group that does a survey of group life policies. Group life policies are those policies that people get when they work at large Fortune 500 companies or mid-sized companies. It's a policy you get as a benefit where you sign on day one, you go to HR or do it from your desk and sign your healthcare plan, and then you sign your death benefit and disability benefit. And normally, you don't ever think about it because you're usually in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and it's not something that is on your mind. And if you should die while being employed, you have to be employed, you get one or two times your base salary. Well, the Society of Actuaries in August of 2022 verified numbers that I had already discovered anyways, but it was good to have the verification. There was a 40% excess mortality in this group of individuals across the U.S. In 2021. A 10% increase in excess mortality in working-age folks is a once-in-a-200-year flood, as said by a CEO, Scott Davison, of One America. 40% is just, you know, a black swan event. And what's interesting about this is they did a study in 2016 to prove what they already knew. This is a good business. These individuals are the healthiest amongst us, and they die in any given year, one-third the mortality of the general U.S. population. So they're just healthy, younger. They're not expected to die. Well, the general U.S. population excess mortality in 2021 was 32%. So that relationship flipped suddenly on its head in 2021. And it's hard to – I blame, obviously, vaccines and work mandates, especially for Fortune 500 companies, which universally mandated this across the board. And – It's hard to hear the critics tell me it's a virus that mutated to only affect the employed younger folks. It's hard to say there was a suicide pact in 2021 amongst those who had great jobs, or that they all missed their cancer screening appointments, especially for the millennials, because most millennials don't get those. And then the third one I heard is drug overdoses, fentanyl and heroin, and I unfortunately know individuals who had heroin problems, and they didn't keep their jobs. So to get this death benefit, you have to be employed. So there wasn't a rash of drug overdoses amongst the Fortune 500 elite. So That is one data set. Second data set is disabilities. That's the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Disabilities took off starting in February of 2021. We registered a 4-standard deviation rate of change, which in Wall Street parlance is a trend change. We went from about 30 million disabled Americans to 33.2 in 18 months, and 1.7 of those were employed. And then we looked at the disability rates, and the disability rates for the employed went up 31%. For the general U.S. population, it went up 9%. And for those not in labor force, those are the people who are able to work, willing to work, but either get fired or quit, and we suspect likely due to vaccine mandates, their disability rate only went up 4%. So basically, as far as I can see, something detrimental happened to the health of the employed people in our country. It flipped on its head. In December of 2022, testified before Senator Ron Johnson that we have a problem. It's a national security issue. So in my mind, as an investor with a thesis, the vaccines and the mandates cause this. If there was a way to invest in this trend, I would be up to my eyeballs in this trend. So that's the theory of the case. There's lots of other databases from all over the world that my team and I at Finance Technologies have done and showed excess death everywhere, especially in the most heavily vaccinated countries. So we've done excess mortality in all of Europe, the UK, Germany, Ireland, Australia, and the U.S. So it's a disaster across the board.
I think what's so powerful about what you just laid out, the athletes and then this working age, 20, 30, 40-year-olds, you know, up to 64, I guess. But, I mean, these are classically, especially the athletes, I mean, the healthiest of the healthy. And
Correct. And
death is, I mean, disability too, but for sure death, I mean, you can't argue that. I mean, something, so you would think in a logical, reasonable society, we'd be investigating this. You know, there's got to be a reason for a 40% increase in death benefit on those life insurance policies in working class, young, healthy people. And we know COVID wasn't, mortality-wise, wasn't hard on young folks. So, you know, in my mind, there's absolutely no explanation other than what you've laid out.
Here's the logic. You hit on the logic exercise. If there's no, let's assume it's not the vaccines. Let's pretend for a moment it's not. What is it? Well, the governments and health authorities of the globe should be asking this question, and there should be alarm bells everywhere, trying to figure out what's going on. In the mainstream media and from our health officials, it's crickets, and that to me is an indication that it is the vaccine. It's circular logic. I mean, okay, if it's not the vaccine, what is it? Well, you're not talking about it, so it must be the vaccine. That's kind of where my head goes.
Mm-hmm. There was a statistic I saw, I think it was maybe on your Twitter or Substack or somewhere, estimated human cost, 26.6 million injuries, 1.36 million disabilities, 300,000 excess deaths, estimated economic costs, $147.8 billion, with a B. Injuries, disabilities, and excess deaths, broken down there. How'd you come to those numbers?
So, it's on our website, financetechnologyspelledph.com, instead of an F. We have something called the Humanity Project. We lay it out. So, it's we built upon all the work we've done, and the deaths come from our excess mortality studies. We're very conservative. The number we gave is for 21 and 22. It's probably on the low side. Other people have estimates much higher, but we try to be as conservative as possible. That's linked into our reports there. Then the disabilities comes right from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the rate of incidents we saw in the mRNA clinical trials, their adverse events was the same order of magnitude that we saw in the disability increases. So that's how we calculated that. And then the injuries, twofold. So there was lesser adverse events that occurred with regularity in the clinical trials. So we calculated what that would look like in the real population. And we came up with 26.6 million people. And the injuries could be, you know, minor to severe. But what really alarmed us is the work time loss and absence rate data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And that's how we calculated the economic impact, because the work time lost is easy. It's hours lost. You can figure out what percent of that is from the national accounts, and that's how we came up with the number.
Okay.
And the work time lost suggests we were shocked when we found this. It's only annual data, so it doesn't get updated monthly like disabilities. But the work time lost went up a little bit in 2020, which we would expect because there was lots of chaos, lockdowns, people trying to figure out schooling, and so it went up. Absences and work time lost. And an absence is just counted as a unit of one. You miss work for one day to like 2 weeks, that's a unit of one. That then went up alarmingly in 21, and then it exploded in 2022. Absences and work time loss. Work time loss was 50% higher in 2022 than it was in 2019. And it went up 24% in 2021. So something's going on where people are, and so what we suspect, again, we're not doctors, we don't pretend to be, but we suspect we've heard lots of indications that the vaccine suppresses the immune system. So especially if you continue to get boosted. So if you have a suppressed immune system, that would present as a number of different issues which would cause you to miss work and or while you're at work, operate at a much lower efficiency level than you normally would. Mm-hmm. So, and anecdotally, Dr. Edwards, we've all heard the stories of people in the workplace talking about if some of their coworkers are chronically sick. So, and unfortunately, these buckets that we've identified, injured, disabled, dead, are not static. You can move from one bucket to the next. So this is a big problem, and it's going to cost the healthcare system quite a bit if this is not, if we don't, A, remove the vaccines immediately, and B, then, you know, point to what the problem is so that we can actually get about to the, you know, to the business of healing people and treating them for vaccine injuries.
Right. Well, I saw U.S. Chamber of Commerce numbers that came out last week, I think it was. 3 million fewer Americans working today compared to February of 2020. And digging into that a little more, they surveyed these Americans in 21 and in 22, asking them why aren't they returning to work. Half the respondents, the top two reasons given were either too ill to return to work or they needed to stay home to take care of children or other family, you know, assuming maybe they're sick or injured somehow. That's very telling, too, if you've seen those statistics.
Yeah, I saw that. I retweeted that article yesterday, and, you know, I asked the question, gee, what changed in 21 and 22? I'm sure like you and I are sitting here, where are the regulators, where's our government? And the answer is obviously they're in cover-up mode, and they're trying to pretend it's not there. And it's unfortunate, you know, not everybody that went along with this is, you know, was in on some sort of plan. I just think we need to, like, admit there's a problem. People need to come forward and stop this. And it's 2023. April of 2023, and I'm still talking about this. I naively thought that when I first discovered the insurance data in February, March of 2022, that, you know, people would come and say, oh, okay, we'll stop it. Well, I was wrong. Yeah. I didn't realize what I was up against.
Well, not only are they not stopping it, but this was, I saw this on Substack also, the 23rd World Vaccine Congress in Washington, D.C., I think this was last week. This is Dr. Setti, who attended this conference, just to see what are the, and these are the, you know, some keynote speakers were some of the top public health agency officials out there. And basically, to summarize, they were saying anyone who thinks these vaccines aren't safe or vaccines in general are crazy. And we don't even need to engage them. No, don't really need to discuss this. And it was this lockstep. I think there were 3,100 people attended this event. And according to Dr. Setti, it was just an absolute, he talked to some of these people privately and they were just clueless. You know, they hadn't seen any of it. He would bring up some of this data and they said, no, I haven't seen that. I mean, at this point, I would say willful blindness, but I mean, if you're just running in echo chambers and these institutions that just put out the same talking points and there's no engagement, you know, I would be with you, you know, cover up mode, I guess.
Well, I want to share some good news because I do feel like the dam is breaking a little bit. And in my LinkedIn, I got a note from a gentleman today, and he said, Edward, you and your team are making a big impact. Josh and his team, Josh Sterling, is working on the insurance side of this. I'm hearing back from my global contacts in insurance, finance, and tech about you and Josh's work that I've sent them, and their brains are baked. I believe the financial crisis that's coming will force an awakening. So the good news is, the data is getting out there slowly, and the people who see it, who are exposed to it, can't really argue with it because I'm not doing this for money. I have no agenda. I just report the data as the data.
Yeah.
And it's when it's presented this way, it's apparently blowing people's minds. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully something cracks soon. But you know. I'm just doing what I'm doing, trying to save as many lives as possible. And I wrote the book for my loved ones because a lot of them got vaccinated. They didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But after reading my book and the profile that I've now attained, no one in my family is getting a booster.
Right.
And they're now looking at ways to detoxify. So this is good news. Yeah. And so if you have loved ones that think you're crazy, just don't buy the book for yourself. Hand it to them.
Yeah, and again, everybody, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022 is the name of the book, foreword by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This kind of leads to my next question. How did you first even start to consider this? I mean, you're a finance guy, you know, managing millions, billions, a $14 billion growth equity portfolio for BlackRock for 10 years. I mean, what clued you into this?
Well, you know, my job for my whole career was to make my clients money. And in Wall Street, you make money by having information edges that other people don't have. And you get to the stock position or the bond position before other people realize that something has changed. So you do your research, you make a decision with not perfect information, because if you wait for the Wall Street Journal or New York Times to report it, the event has already occurred. So you're always operating not with complete information. And I'm into pattern recognition, rates of change, underlying reality is changing versus perception. Well, when the vaccine came out and I was told it was safe and effective, I personally wasn't going to take it for three reasons. It was Operation Warp Speed. That sounded really ridiculous to me. I know something about manufacturing. It sounded like there'd be a lot of safety corners cut. I also knew that vaccines take 7 to 10 years of testing before they're safe. and then also knew it was experimental new technology that had never been tried in humans. So personally, I was like, I'm not going to take it. And then I was horrified with the propaganda campaign that ensued and everybody around me taking it. And then the anecdotes started coming hard and fast on Maui and out on the mainland from people I was talking to. So anecdotally, I knew statistically that if this was a safe, quote-unquote safe vaccine, I shouldn't be hearing about any adverse events. Forget the multiple events I was hearing. And, you know, I started hearing the strange stories about my uncle who was, you know, 48 died and this kind of thing. And so that's when I said, you know, I'm going to look into this. And I knew that if I was right, it would show up in financial results of insurance companies and funeral homes, and it did. And so that's kind of how my journey began. So it turned into what I do. It turned into what I do for a living, just collect data, follow trends, and the trend is bad in this case, very bad.
Yeah. Well, and I'd like to remind our listeners, in 2018, Moderna, in their corporate prospectus for their stock market launch, they acknowledged that the lipid nanoparticles carried a risk, and this is a quote, "No mRNA drug has been approved in this new potential category of medicines and may never be approved as a result of efforts by others or us. mRNA drug development has substantial clinical development and regulatory risk due to the novel and unprecedented nature of this new category of medicines," end quote. Again, that's 2018, Moderna's corporate prospectus to their investors. That was enough right there for anybody. Unfortunately, that quote wasn't on mainstream news. I had to find that from some alternative sources. But that was a red flag. That was 2018. They never came in 2019 or 20 to say, hey, we figured this thing out. We figured out this tricky technology and found a way to make it safe. So that should have been announced, and informed consent should have been given, including that quote, I think. So, unfortunately, I think it's taken a lot of injuries, death, and disability to wake people up and see that maybe we can't put our hope, trust, and faith in some of these institutions. And then, of course, folks like Ed Dowd in his book, Cause Unknown, highly recommend it for everybody, especially if you have loved ones, friends, colleagues, bosses, coworkers, you know, to shed some light on this thing and bring some truth to the situation. Ed, I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of interviews. Appreciate all you're doing, the numbers you've put out, the data you've put out. I've used a lot of your stuff to in presentations I've given down here to try to open people's eyes. So thank you for all you're doing, your hard work. I know it puts you out there kind of on an island and puts a target on your back. So it takes some courage to do that. So I appreciate all you're doing.
Well, thank you, and the good news is I already live on an island, and thankfully the people of Maui, they're gentle people, and I have not received a lot. I mean, I've had blowback from a lot of my friends in the mainland, but here I have a good community, and you know what's great is more and more people that I know are who were pro-vaccine are congratulating me and saying thank you. So, it's happening slowly. So that's the good news. And again, you said earlier, love and compassion. We need that for everybody. We can't come at this from hate. It's not going to work. We need to convert people over to our side and do that through love and compassion.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, everybody. That's Ed Dowd. Cause Unknown is the name of the book. I encourage you to go. It's on Amazon and other places. So get out there and get that. Buy two copies. Give one to your neighbor. We've got to take a break real quick, and then I'll be back. Ed's got to run, but I'll be back for the second half of the show, and we'll keep talking about some things. So everybody stick with us. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.
And welcome back in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again, Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. Just want to reiterate that first half of the show, Edward Dowd, that was recorded, obviously, but I want to come in and just reiterate. I mean, cause he talked fast. He went through a lot of numbers. I mean, he's a finance guy. Managed $10 billion for BlackRock formerly before he got out of that. And I mean, they're just hard, cold facts on those numbers. In his book, it lays it all out. But I just want to summarize and kind of reiterate what he was saying, if you didn't catch that. Because, it's powerful. Estimated human costs, 26.6 million injuries from the COVID shot, 1.36 million disabilities, and 300,000 excess deaths. And that's not just Ed Dowd's numbers that are backed up by studies in the book, but multiple different published accounts. Even in 21 and 22, we started seeing these numbers. But in young people, that was the main point with the interview with him, was that it was these young people. I mean, athletes. You don't see athletes just drop dead. Very, very, very rarely will you see that. Good Sciencing, ING, goodsciencing.com. You can see the graph. You can see the data. 1,836 athletic cardiac arrests or serious cardiac issues since the shots rolled out. 1,270 of these young people died since the shots rolled out.
How many again?
1,270 athlete deaths.
Wow.
Since these shots rolled out. So when Ed Dowd talks about these young people, I mean, this is, I mean, pretty incontrovertible proof when you're talking about young people. Same thing in the life insurance. These are young, working age people before retirement age, the healthiest people supposedly in our country and historically have been. So these life insurance data, they go back for decades, even over 100 years. They have data very consistent. You never see more than a small percent increase year by year on life insurance payouts of young working age people. In a 40% increase, like he said, 10% is once every 200 years event. 40% increase, it's unheard of. So where are the other explanations for 1,200 plus athletes, young healthy athletes that have died from cardiac issues? And then where's the explanation on a 40% rise in death benefit? Something is killing young, healthy people since the shot rolled out. Where's the other explanation? As Peter McCullough says, Dr. McCullough, until proven otherwise, of course it's a new gene therapy technology that's never been proven to be safe in all previous studies. You heard reading from the Moderna investor prospectus, they admitted that they're shelving the technology in 2017, 2018, basically saying this is too tricky, too risky, too hard to do this safely, and we're putting it on the shelf. That's what they told their investors. So until proven otherwise, of course that's what it is. So the bigger question is, why is nobody talking about it? Well, I mean, there's people talking about it, but they're censored, they're shut down, you can't see it on any mainstream news for sure. But any public health, I mean, they're still, the public health agencies are still promoting the shot when all these guys that have looked into the data are saying this for sure needs to be pulled off the market, no questions asked. I mean, pull baby formula off with a death or two, and all these other examples of consumer products that cause one or two or five deaths, and they're pulled off the market. Anyways, I don't want to beat the horse, you know, a dead horse here, but I still find that it's part of what we're trying to do is open people's eyes to the fact that possibly there's some corruption in the institutions. And have we put our hope, trust, and faith? I think that would be the definition of idol, modern day idols. You know, the Bible's pretty clear. And, you know, growing up, I thought of idols as being these just whatever kind of golden calf statues and fake gods. But it's, you know, whatever you're putting your hope, trust, and faith in. And so I know I'd need to move on from this, and pretty much I have, but at times I feel like we got to go back and try to pick up a few folks that are still not fully able to believe that this could be true, that our public health agencies might not be willing and able to address these facts. So that's why I bring on Edward Dowd and others. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on COVID like the next three shows I'm super excited about. We're going to move on to the number one killer in America, coronary artery disease. But even beyond that, microvascular disease, your tiniest little blood vessels in the body, 99% of your pipes are these micro capillaries, these tiny, tiny, tiny blood vessels where they're so small, red blood cells have to go through in single file in order to make it through that tiny little pipe. And when you have damage to the wall of that little capillary, that leads to heart attack, stroke, vascular dementia, kidney failure and dialysis, neuropathy, macular degeneration, you name it. I mean, if you damage the capillaries, which are bringing the oxygen and the nutrients to every cell of the body, you will see symptoms. We call it disease. And pretty much all the diseases of aging, which I don't even believe in that, but it's what we see as people age and don't steward their health, mostly out of lack of knowledge, but just fatigue, brain fog, hypertension, ED, various hormone symptoms. Definitely long COVID. We've discovered spike protein absolutely demolishes the inside lining of the capillary. We're going to be able to measure that with a camera, sublingual camera, and then there's ways to repair that. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the coming shows. Next week we'll have Chris Kenobi on. He'll be a repeat guest. Chris Kenobi was an ophthalmologist at UT Southwestern, decided to start researching why is there so much blindness in America, age-related macular degeneration, the number one cause of blindness, skyrocketing over the past few decades. And he discovered it's inflammation, ding, 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 and inflammation from diet and lifestyle. But he's going to be on next week to talk specifically about all these chronic Western diseases over the past 100 years that have skyrocketed. Then the following week, we're going to have Malcolm Kendrick on. He's a medical doctor out of the UK who wrote a book called The Clot Thickens, talking specifically about his theory of why we have heart attacks. Because remember, the cholesterol theory has been debunked, and we'll get into that and the studies that debunk that cholesterol theory some next week, and then definitely with Dr. Kendrick the following week. So what are the other theories are out there if it's not cholesterol, not saturated fat? So he gets into blood clots and the evidence that blood clots are the real reason people are having a heart attack. But even deeper than that, what's driving the blood clot? And he'll get into that some. But it all relates to that inner lining of the blood vessel wall called the glycocalyx. So the third week, Dr. DeBrinkett's going to be on. He's out of Florida, and he specifically has worked with 800 patients with this new device that's able to measure the inside lining of the capillaries, the glycocalyx, and repair that. And you'll hear on that show in 3 weeks from now about his own personal reversal of 50% blockage of his coronary arteries by improving the health of this the glycocalyx, the inner lining. So that'll be exciting. The next 3 weeks, going to really dive down into blood vessel health, heart attack. Why are we seeing such poor perfusion of the organs of our body, and specifically the heart? But kind of back to Ed Dowd, and the reason I brought him on was I hate to say it, but to try to show people that our conventional media and conventional medicine are producing some really awful results. I'm just going to go through a few more pieces of evidence. This is Dr. Paul Merrick, who, by the way, was suspended from his ICU headship. He was the head of the ICU in his hospital in Virginia, East Carolina University, I believe, was a medical school he was associated with. And he was just a kind of world-renowned ICU doctor until he started using high-dose vitamin C and ivermectin and the FLCCC protocol and had a 50% improved mortality rate in his ICU patients than his colleagues, and they barred him from using that protocol and then eventually fired him, and then they reported him to the national board, which makes it almost impossible for him to get a job at any other hospital. In a recent interview, Dr. Merrick, whose eyes are also opening now to the limitations of conventional medicine, he quoted a study that showed the United States consumes 80% of the opiates with only 5% of the global population. And it's not just opiates, it's pharmaceuticals across the board. We consume by far more pharmaceuticals than anyone else, but we get the worst outcomes. That should raise an eyebrow as to maybe our protocols are off. When you look up or go back and listen to Dr. Antonio Jimenez, Hope for Cancer in Tijuana, and I believe his stage 4 pancreatic 5-year survival is 30 in the low 30s, I think 34%, versus National Cancer Institute, which is about 3% when you combine all the stages 1, 2, 3, and 4. NCI protocols, 5-year survival, about 3%. How could that be? Same with NOASIS. Oasis of Hope. Let me pull this up real quick. I encourage you to go on oasisofhope.com and click on cancer survival rates. And I'm looking at breast cancer survival rates when Oasis of Hope was the first treatment option. 5-year survival, 75%. Versus 20% with National Cancer Institute data. 1-year survival is 100%. 2-year survival, 90%. 3-year survival, 83% versus 65, 44, and 32. And you can scroll down through those bar graphs and look at their ovarian cancer, 5-year survival, lung cancer, colorectal cancer, 1, 3, and 5-year survivals versus National Cancer Institute. Significantly better outcomes. And that, in my opinion, is because we're limited. National Cancer Institute can only use chemo, radiation, or surgery. And in fact, I've talked to some researchers who wanted to do a study on their product for cancer because in the lab it was showing cytotoxic effects on cancer cells. The problem was this product had multiple agents in it, and you can't test multiple agents. You can only use one agent, you know, head to head against the standard of care chemotherapy. You can only test one agent. You can't test a product that has 5 or 6 or 10 different nutraceutical agents in it. So there are limitations to the way we study these products. Back to some headlines that might open people's eyes a little bit. Again, that's what I'm trying to do. Skyrocketing incidents of pilot incapacitations raise red flags about flight safety. This is Dr. Makis, M-A-K-I-S. I've quoted him before. A doctor out of Canada. Young pilot Phil Thomas died suddenly. At least 3 other pilot deaths and 7 pilot incapacitations just in the past month. And that's not including flight attendants and passengers dying in flight. Of course, none of this is normal. All this is brand new. since the COVID-19 injections were rolled out. So until proven otherwise, why are we not looking closely at these and doing autopsies on all of them? But Dr. Mackis has the flight number, the pilot's name, and the details of each one of those deaths and incapacitations. You can go to Substack, type in William Mackis, M-A-K-I-S, and read all those details. Why is that not on the nightly news? Why is the local, state, and federal health agencies not talking about this and giving some other explanation, if there was another explanation? Another study, this is a preprint from University of California, San Francisco epidemiologist Vinny Prasad, P-R-A-S-A-D, and three of his colleagues. They looked at CDC's information they put out during COVID, and these scientists reveal how CDC repeatedly spread COVID-19 misinformation. You can go read the preprint for all the details. But here's a quote from Dr. Prasad and his co-authors on the spread of misinformation by the CDC. Quote, many universities, healthcare facilities, daycares, churches, businesses, schools, sports programs, and camps defer to CDC guidelines for COVID-19 precautions. And in our report, we found 25 instances of the CDC disseminating demonstrably incorrect information. 20 of these instances, they claimed, exaggerated the severity of the COVID-19 situation. The errors were identified. The errors we identified included basic facts like the number of children who have died and the ranking of COVID-19 among causes of pediatric death. These errors have been made repeatedly and were likely to have affected discussion of pandemic policies, end quote. Again, you can look that up. It's a preprint, University of California, Vinny Prasad, P-R-A-S-A-D. And the name of the preprint, or the title of the paper, Statistical and Numerical Errors Made by the U.S. CDC and Prevention During the COVID-19 Pandemic. You can go read the paper yourself. I would highly recommend it if you know someone who's still trying to open their eyes to the fact that maybe the CDC is not the purveyor of all the truth. Another huge study came out. Frontiers in Medicine, a systematic review of 2,168 studies on adverse medical mask effects. Quote, we found significant effects in both medical and surgical N95 masks with a greater impact of the second in the absence of strong empirical evidence of effectiveness. Mask wearing should not be mandated, let alone enforced by law. They specifically went into the detrimental physiometabolic and clinical consequences of wearing a mask. And what they found were increased shortness of breath, decreased oxygen levels, increase in headaches, dizziness, increased systolic blood pressure, increased heart rate, and increased blood CO2 levels. Again, that's a study just published. It's a review study of over 2,000 mass studies showing harm, no benefit. Peter McCullough put this out on his page. So many have asked, why are the doctors pushing the COVID shots so aggressively? And I'll tell you that that's probably almost, if not the number one reason, close to it, comment that I hear from new patients seeking out our clinic to be their PCP, is their current physicians are and have been just pushing that shot so aggressively. And the patient's not even there to talk about that. They're there for a refill on their hypertension meds or something, and they just won't leave it alone. I'm sure some of these doctors just believe that that is the best way to handle this COVID thing, and because that's what they've been told by the CDC and others. But also, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, COVID-19 Vaccine Provider Incentive Program. I've had probably 8 people send this to me, so I'm sure most of the listeners have seen this. It's, I guess, going around social media. But basically, it's an internal memo to doctors who are part of the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. There was an incentive, or is an incentive program, for these doctors to get their patients vaccinated. And you can qualify for a bonus. If 30% of the Anthem members are vaccinated, you'll get a $20 bonus per vaccinated member. And then it goes up from there, 40%, 50%, 60%. And if 75% of your Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem members are vaccinated, you get a $125 bonus per vaccinated member. That's pretty substantial. If Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem is a big payer in your practice, that's going to be significant. And this was specifically the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicaid in the state of Kentucky. I would suspect there are similar incentive programs throughout the country and probably throughout different payers. You know, depending on your perspective, you could call this a bribe versus coercion versus just, you know, trying to encourage these doctors to do the right thing. Although the right thing is up for debate. Thirty-eight-year-old former NHL player died last week of a heart attack suddenly. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Don't really want to, but still run into people, even some folks in my own family who just were not exposed to the truth, and probably at this point, I just don't know. They may not see the truth. They're not looking, they're not seeking, they're going to trust their sources of information and just not even address these questions. CDC, FDA, NIH, I mentioned in the recorded part of the interview with Ed Dow, there was the 23rd Annual World Congress on Vaccines in Washington, D.C. a week or two ago, and those folks just seem completely clueless to all this data. The Ed Dow data, they'd never seen it. The pilot data, they'd never seen it. The athlete data, they'd never seen it. The increased all-cause mortality in the vaccinated, they've never seen it. So if you just don't see this information, obviously it's going to be hard to believe it. And it appeared that everyone at that conference, which was about 3,000 attendees, were only getting information from mainstream sources that didn't include any of these things. So, my biggest encouragement to you is know where you're getting your information from. And more on a personal note, I would encourage those that are followers of Jesus to seek ye first the kingdom. Really put these distractions down, especially social media. And even this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast more than you're getting in the Word, or listening to any podcast more than you're getting in the Word, and renewing your mind to that truth, then I would tell you to consider changing that daily habit of podcast listening. You know, find a good Bible teacher. And even then, intellectual knowledge about the Bible doesn't replace relationship. And that's really what this is all about, and that's where we're headed. Each one of us maturing up into understanding Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, guide us. He's our comforter. He's a Prince of Peace. These aren't just Bible verses. They're the truth. And that's where we're headed. I mean, the world's headed to a one-world government, obviously. Central bank digital currency, World Health Organization treaties that put them in charge of all healthcare decisions, climate change policies that restrict our ability to do certain things like eat beef, or at least they're going to try to restrict that. I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's already being implemented actually in some places. So we see where the world's going in human man wisdom and knowledge. So the kingdom of God doesn't operate that way. And as we get out of self-centeredness and seek ye first the kingdom, and we realize Jesus lives in us, and we become love, we love God and love our neighbor more than ourselves, We're going to stand out like a sore thumb in a good way. The world can keep doing what they do, and then we will shine in a way that will attract the world. So it's probably past time of trying to convince people with facts and data, but still, I get tempted to go back to that. I had a patient just last week. I had to give her a prescription to stop doing that. It was driving such anxiety and depression in her, trying to convince close friends and family and coworkers of the truth of what's going on in the world right now. It was literally driving her anxiety and insomnia and panic attacks. So there's a fine line. I still feel obligated to share some of this information that's just not getting out in the mainstream. But I'm going to do it less and less, and maybe this will be the last time because there's more important things to talk about, like we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks with cardiovascular disease, kidney disease, stroke, ED, hypertension, diabetes. The cool thing about the glycocalyx, the lining of the inside wall of your blood vessel, when that glycocalyx is thick and healthy and those red blood cells float through there and tickle it, it secretes nitric oxide. Nitric oxide vasodilates that blood vessel, keeps it nice and soft and nimble, and keeps the blood pressure down, keeps blood flow appropriate for ED and for your brain and for your eyeballs. You've got to have good blood flow and good oxygenation to every cell of the body, and that nitric oxide helps that. Nitric oxide also helps keep the blood sugar normal. But just trying to take a nitric oxide-inducing supplement is not as good as letting your body do what it wants to do, release its own nitric oxide at the appropriate levels at the appropriate time. And your glycocalyx will do that when it's healthy. So again, we're going to have a camera. It's supposed to ship this week. So hopefully by next week's show, I'll be able to give you an update and tell you we've got it. And then we'll be able to start scheduling folks who want to measure the glycocalyx inside that capillary wall. This will be available for members and non-members. And then we can teach you on how to repair that wall. There is going to be an easy button answer, which is a supplement that's been proven to repair that lining. Of course, I'm going to be kind of anti-easy button answer. And we're going to try to prove that diet and lifestyle by itself can do it. But anyways, that's what's coming up in the next three shows. We'll be talking about this next week. Chris Kenobi, then Malcolm Kendrick, then Dr. DeBrinket, talking about the glycocalyx. So y'all stick with us. Happy to keep bringing some truth, some hope, and encouragement that your body was designed beautifully. If you'll steward it well, it should work for you well. Fear is the number one driver of inflammation, immune system dysfunction, hormone dysfunction, and GI dysfunction. So keep fear out, keep the truth in. The Prince of Peace is the truth. So seek him, not me or any other man. All right. Thank you all for tuning in today. This show will be archived at veritasmedical.com. You can also go on there to sign up to talk to one of our health coaches. Wellness Navigators is what we call them, and they will be happy to visit with you and walk you through some of these truths. And also, we'll talk more in the future, but we have a corporate wellness program. So if you're a CEO and you want to get your employees healthy and decrease your health insurance cost, send us an email too. We'd be happy to visit with you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
And you have been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.